Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you share the good news of Jesus Christ with those you care about. As our faithful listeners know, these editions, many times we do teaching editions, and today is no exception. You know, last week we concluded the series on that we call The Grace Guide to Marriage, or did we? Well, we actually did, but today Bob and Richard have some T's to cross and some I's to dot and some things to share with us in that regard. So, Bob, let's see what you and Richard have today.
Well, we do have some lingering questions about marriage and really about divorce and remarriage.
Yeah.
We really ran out of time last week to cover that topic thoroughly. And so there were several questions that came to the forefront, and we really wanted to spend a little time today answering those questions. And like I said, the big question that so many people have, and with divorce at the rate that it is, you know, is it okay in God's eyes for me to be remarried? Can I do that? And we ended last week's broadcast by saying, yes, but is it the wise thing to do? And that's when our time, that's when our clock said, hey, you got to stop. You got to quit talking now.
We were done.
That's right. We were done. So we want to go into that just briefly today to talk about, you know, what about that person who's divorced? Is there an opportunity for them to get remarried? Is that okay in God's sight? Is there hope for another relationship, an opportunity to maybe build a relationship on the foundation of Christ Jesus and to really experience marriage the way God has designed it to be? And I think the answer to that is a resounding yes. I don't think the answer to that. I know the answer to that is a resounding yes. Now, before we really get into that, let's talk about a few things that was going on with the Pharisees and with some of the Jewish leaders, and why Jesus said some of the things that he said in Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 15. In those particular passages, he was saying that divorce is really only okay if infidelity has happened, if your spouse has been unfaithful to you. Mm-hmm. Now, what was happening with the Pharisees and what was happening back in Moses' day were the men were saying, hey, we're going to issue a certificate of divorce for our wives so that we could marry someone else. And what Jesus was saying is you've found a loophole in the law. You think that it is okay to do this, but in essence, you're just simply committing adultery.
Mm-hmm.
You are getting rid of this spouse because you've fallen in love with another woman and you want to get married to that woman. Now, Jesus doesn't say that's okay. And matter of fact, he chastises the Pharisees for that very act. And there's a lot of people out there in the world who are divorcing their mates just so they can marry someone else. They're already engaged. They're involved
yes.
with that somebody else. So they want to get divorced so they can just make it right with this other person. Well, that's not a legitimate reason to leave your mate. It happens, and certainly the blood of Jesus Christ has dealt with that, has condemned that. It did 2,000 years ago, and it can release somebody from that guilt, provide forgiveness. It provides forgiveness to that person. So there's that, and Jesus isn't condoning that kind of activity, is he?
Well, not at all. I mean, look at what would be happening to the women in that situation. I mean, the certificate was in order to protect the woman. And it had become just the opposite. It was death to them because now nobody else will marry them. They're left usually destitute. They would have children. They couldn't do anything. They weren't. It was just a bad situation. Plus, the husband usually in this case had already been committing adultery in his heart.
Yes.
And Jesus is saying, well, back up the truck. You know, this has got to change. You've got to understand what the purpose of marriage is. It's not, you know, these issues of divorce are not just so you can scratch an itch. It's intended for the safety of the woman, and you're not protecting your current wife. So let's just stop. Let's rethink this whole thing and see what God would have to say about it, not what you and your cronies have to say about it.
Right. So there are some legitimate reasons for divorce in the Word of God. We talked about those last week. So say you're a person that your spouse cheated on you, you just couldn't reconcile and make that work, and so divorce happened. So what does the Word of God say to you? What kind of hope does the Word of God give you? Maybe your mate has deserted you. Maybe your mate has abused you. Maybe there's just a hardness of heart there that the marriage is just dissolved. And so you didn't get out of it because there was somebody else that you were interested in. Divorce just happened, as it does in the world. I mean, if this was a sinless atmosphere in which we lived, divorce isn't going to happen. But it's not. We live in a sin-stained world, and we have sin living in us, in this flesh of ours. And we've been made perfect in Christ Jesus, but sinful desires continue to tug at us, to pull at us, to try to move us away. And oftentimes we give in to those desires of the flesh, and we commit sin. So that's just, you know, things happen in this world. So to the person that is out there who's divorced, maybe divorced a second time or a third time or something like that, what does the Word of God say to you? What is the hope for you? Now, there are many, I'm just going to say it, legalistic leaders out there, ministers, who are going to say to you that the only marriage possible for you is with your first mate, with your first husband or your first wife. So if they've remarried, then you just have to hope that they're going to get divorced so that you can go back and get remarried.
That's kind of tangled, isn't
it? Yes, that's just compounding problems, and it quite frankly, it's just stupid to even think that way. But we get so caught up in the legal aspects of it, and we take different passages out of the Word of God, and we just try to make them sound sensible. I mean, as far as you know, real experiences, we try to cram those real experiences into what the Bible and what the law, and I'm going to say just the law says about marriage.
And all that does is demonstrate that we're incapable of keeping the law, which was the law's purpose.
Absolutely.
It should drive us to Jesus.
Absolutely. Good point, Richard. So if you're out there, you're not married, you've been divorced, what does the Word of God say to you? Well, I think the first thing is to figure out what went wrong.
Yeah.
Did you enter marriage under the wrong pretenses? Mm-hmm. Were you just looking to get married so that your needs could be met, so that you could become a happy person? Did you get married for selfish reasons? So really go to the Lord and ask some questions and just really dig deep into what was going on there. Why? Because you don't want to repeat those mistakes.
And we know, based on all kinds of studies, that people tend to repeat that mistake over again.
That's exactly right. That's why the divorce rate for second marriages is higher than for first marriages. Why? Because we haven't done the due diligence to really examine our own hearts and to find out why we got into marriage to begin with. So we want to make sure that we do that. So let's take some time and let's figure it out. Did I get married for selfish reasons? Did I get married for reasons other than what the Word of God has to say? And once we've come to grips with that, then we're, I think, ready to say, Lord, if you want to bring somebody else into my life, I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for that to happen. And I want to do this next relationship under your guidance, under your leading, through your Spirit who is alive, living in me. And if you have that disposition, if you have that attitude, then you can leave that desire to get married in the hands of God.
Mm-hmm.
What we see happening so often, we have a desire to get married, we have a desire for something else, and instead of entrusting that to the Lord, we push and try to make it happen on our own.
Yeah.
And anytime we try to make it happen on our own through human effort, we're going to mess up. I mean, that's just the way it is. The Bible is full of stories just like that. I mean, God had given a promise to Abraham that you're going to have a son. And boy, they're old in age and they're trying to figure out, how is this going to work? How is this going to happen? Yeah. We're beyond childbearing years.
But we can fix this.
We can fix it. And boy, they came up with a plan and they didn't fix it.
No.
And they didn't bring about what God wanted for them. And that came much later. But they, you know, Abraham went with Hagar and they produced a son, Ishmael, and it was a problem.
Yeah.
And it was a big problem. But it didn't thwart the work of God.
No.
So if you desire to be married again, entrust that to the Lord. So I think that's the first thing. Entrust that to the Lord. Leave the results of that in God's hands. The next thing is, if you find somebody that you're interested in, start with friendship. Build a friendship in the Lord. Just talk about your faith. Talk about what Christ has done. Let Jesus be the center of all of your conversations and just allow him to start molding you together and developing a love in your hearts one toward another. But if you will start with friendship, you're going to be in great shape.
Absolutely. But it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you've joined us for this edition, everybody. You know, our purpose here at Basic Gospel is to get this good news out by every means available. And friends, we want you to share in the blessing of being a part of that. Many of you support this ministry faithfully, and for you, we are very, very thankful. Your gifts do make a difference, and we'll talk more about that a little bit later. But right now, let's get back to this very interesting study with Bob and Richard on today's edition of Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. So we want to start with friendship, and I think that's vitally important.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've been married, you've engaged sexually with some other people, and I think for this next go around, you want to say, hey, I want to start with the things of the Lord. I want to really build this friendship, build a relationship around Jesus Christ. And just allow him to do his good work in that relationship.
Yes.
If it leads to marriage, praise God. If it doesn't, you have a friend in Christ. And that is so valuable. So start with friendship. Build this relationship upon the solid rock of Christ Jesus, and then leave the results of that in the Lord's hands. As he leads, you follow. And that's a great prescription for a new relationship, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's no different than the first woman you fell in love with, or
right,
the first man you fell in love with. Start with friendship. Keep sex out of it, because it's not time for that
right
yet. Let God build the relationship, build the kind of intimacy that is so valuable when you start with the Spirit working through the soul, and then after marriage, express it physically.
Right, and so with that, I think you would want to spend a lot of time getting to know that other person. I don't think you want to enter into another marriage relationship with any secrets,
correct,
you know, unrevealed. You want to lay everything out on the table. You want to lay your financial story out on the table. You want to lay your past out on the table. You want to lay all of that out on the table so that each of you know exactly what has brought you to this point in your life right now. And so that there's no secrets, there's no surprises, there's no anything like that that would happen once you say, I do. So get all of those secrets out. Tell that story. And if you're unwilling to tell your story to this person, or you find that they're unwilling to tell their story to you, that they're going to retain their secrets, then I think that is a sign from God that says, move on. Don't waste your time. Don't bother. If you haven't come to a point in your life where you can just say, this is who I am, and expect somebody else to say this is who they are, then I don't think it's going to be wise to move forward.
No, it can't be. That's why, you know, at the beginning of this, for first-time marriages, we stressed so much that the only safety here is to both be Christians, born again, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, having your deepest needs met by Jesus himself. When you've got that, then only then can you deal with real life stuff as it has come up, as you've experienced it, the mistakes you've made, the victories you've had, and begin to weave a relationship together so that the bad stuff is not condemning. It's just a learning experience, and the good stuff is not for pride. It was a learning experience, and now the two of you can begin to work together because Jesus is already everything you need. Apart from that, you're going to have this tit-for-tat thing going on. Somebody's going to tell me something, I'm going to go, really? Well, I just ruined the relationship. If I tell somebody something and they go, really? Then they've ruined the relationship. You don't want to have that happening.
Right, absolutely. Now, there are a lot of marriages that are second marriages and third marriages that are fantastic.
Yep.
They are people that have really come to know Christ and have come to be content in Christ. And then they've met somebody, mm-hmm. and they've met another individual who is content in Christ. And as they've grown together in friendship and relationship and gotten to know each other, they've decided, hey, let's get married. Mm-hmm. And they've gotten married. And the marriage is they're learning to experience it the way God designed it.
Yes.
And they're experiencing that oneness in at a depth that they didn't experience before. Why? Because they're sharing their contentment in Christ. And that makes everything else so much better as far as the marriage relationship is concerned. All of those, details of life that you have to deal with mm-hmm. Together, your contentment in Christ makes dealing with those so much more pleasant and enjoyable to do. Yeah. So there are just way too many examples out there, way too many stories of people who are in second or third marriages who are really experiencing it exactly the way God has laid it out.
Yeah.
And they're rejoicing over that.
Oh, they are. And notice why they can do that. Because their identity is not, I'm a divorced person.
Right.
I'm a person who has experienced divorce, no doubt about that. But I am a child of God first and foremost. I know who I am. I know why I am. It's all because of Jesus. And like you said, that great word, content.
Yes.
If I'm content with who I am in Christ, then I can be content with someone else.
Right. And unless you are content with Christ, then you're going to get married for a wrong reason.
Mm-hmm.
The contentment in Christ allows you to get married for the right reason, because you want to serve another individual
yes.
in love. That you want to consider their needs over and above your own, because you know that it's more blessed to give than receive. You want to love as you've been loved in Christ. You want to forgive as you've been forgiven in Christ. You want to accept as you have been accepted in Christ. You want to give as God has given to you in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So this contentment in Christ is so vitally important and allows you to jump into a marriage relationship well, for the right reason, for the right purpose. And that's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
And that good start is going to lead to a good end.
Yes.
And a good in between every aspect of it.
Well, think about some of the things that are brought to the table. The two of you have different financial situations. It doesn't matter how much money you think you have. If one of or both of you is still paying child support, for example, or spousal support, you've got to deal with that stuff.
Yes.
You can't start there.
Right.
You've got to start with the relationship. And then there might be health issues. There could be inheritance issues. Children, how are you going to blend the family? There are some real tough, not tough because it's bad, but tough because it's challenging conversations to have with someone regarding all that stuff. But you must start at the beginning, contentment in Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Now, once that's established, that contentment in Jesus, you've said, I do, your marriage has the opportunity to reflect the love of Christ for his church.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you've had a failed relationship in the past doesn't mean that God can't use the current relationship in
Absolutely.
Such a way that it reflects the very love of Christ for his bride, the church,
mm-hmm.
Which is all of us who have come to know Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. So, sin tries to tell us another story about God.
Yeah.
Sin tries to change our narrative in such a way that just keeps us in bondage to a sense of unworthiness, a sense of condemnation, of guilt and shame and fear. But it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that lifts us out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so is divorce sin? Yes, it's a
yeah.
sin. What has God done with that? He has forgiven it in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in Christ, you've received that forgiveness. And so he has redeemed you. And he's not finished with you. He's going to complete the work. And you can count on it. You will be conformed to the image of his son. That's been predestined. And so in a new relationship, a new marriage, God is still going to be working through you.
Mm-hmm.
So don't think of yourself as unworthy.
Yeah.
That this marriage is just going to be a second-class marriage. Entrust it to the Lord and see how he works in and through it.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to be surprised. I think you're going to be blessed. And with Christ, there's great hope, and that's what we need to pin. That's who we need to pin all of our hopes onto in every aspect of our lives.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons why knowing the Bible stories is so important. If those guys and women could be used by God, doggone it, we can be.
That's right.
I mean, there was some real crash and burn moments in the Bible, and
yeah.
one of the things that's so wonderful about it is it talks about those. It's real. It doesn't gloss it over. These people failed, they were redeemed, and now they've given us the Word of God.
Yes, indeed. Well, thanks, Bob and Richard, for these excellent thoughts on the issue of marriage. Friends, we're glad you've joined us today for Basic Gospel. Keep in mind that if you have a question later today or possibly tonight, drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net or phone your question to us at 844-322-2742. Either way, we'll be glad to hear from you at Basic Gospel. Also, keep in mind that your help enables us to keep the good news of Jesus Christ on the air and online, and we hope that you'll join us today by donating any one of several good ways, by phone at 844-322-2742, online at basicgospel.net, or in Canada at basicgospel.net/Canada. You can also donate through the Basic Gospel app, and outside the U.S. and Canada, you can donate with PayPal. We truly appreciate your love and support of Basic Gospel. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, and I hope you'll be with us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, everybody.